And welcome to the Hour of Hope. I'm the host, Pastor Matthew Broman of Safe Harbor Church in Accutan, Alaska. It's a non-denominational church. We have people from all over the world, from across the Christian spectrum, even people that sometimes aren't Christians, but we're just glad they're there, and we're so glad you're here. This is a program to remind you, yes, there is hope. We've been on kind of a vacation, or a real vacation, so that's why you've had a lot of replay programs, but we're back strong, and we're going to be studying four words, if you can remember these: true belief, real life. If you have true belief according to the Bible, you will have real life. And we're going to be studying the Gospel of John. So get your Bible, open your app, the Gospel of John, the fourth gospel in the New Testament. So let's pray. If you want to get a hold of me, it's MATHEWVROMAN@gmail.com. MATHEWVROMAN@gmail.com. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this program. I pray you bless it. I pray that we would grow in a true belief and experience the real life that comes from that. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus saves. Freedom's calling. Chains are falling. Hope is dawning. Quiet and sure. Today is bright. I was always told that I would amount to nothing and that I'd end up on the streets. If you tell a person that continually, that's what you believe, that you're worthless, you're useless. The story really starts when I was 7 and a half, when in 1949, my father died. He'd just finished planting 100 cherry trees and then had a heart attack and was taken to hospital. And I never forget when I was told that my dad had died. I just couldn't handle that. And I remember running up into the top paddock. I screamed at God, God, I hate you. I hate you with all my heart. I hate you and I will never love you. Hatred, I found, is like a cancer. It doesn't stay dormant, it grows. I was just so angry with God. I had a vile temper. I really did. If anyone did anything to me, I would pick up a chisel and throw it at them. We had a big gang fight. We captured the leader of the other gang and we held his hand on the ground and we ran a car backwards and forwards over his hand and broke every bone in his hand. It's all I ever thought of was hurting people. We heard that Billy Graham was coming. He was a man that I hated. We hated Christianity. And he stood for everything we hated.
I do not believe that you have come here to hear a man. I believe you have come to hear a message. I want you to listen to this minute of what I'm going to say, because this is the most important thing I'll say. You must be willing to repent of your sin.
Billy Graham stood for everything that I detested. It was something that drove me and made me exist day by day. The only reason the 10 of us went to that crusade was to kill Billy Graham. I made up 10 zip guns, so each member had one of those. I said to the guys, come on, we're going on the green. And we spaced ourselves so that we could see each other around where Billy Graham was preaching. We decided that we would leave it until the appeal time. Not before, but during the appeal, we would kill Billy Graham.
There are thousands of you here today that have burdens that need to be lifted.
My gun was under my jumper. And I'm standing there and I looked around at this crowd and I thought, what the dickens are all these people doing here? And I turned back around and then suddenly a voice said to me, what are you doing here, George? And I quickly turned back around to have a look and see who was there, and nobody was there that I knew. And I got very uncomfortable about that, I can tell you. Very uncomfortable.
The Spirit of God is speaking and He's here tonight and you know He's here. And there's a little voice down inside of you that says you need Christ. That is God speaking.
Okay, I know this is you, God. You took my dad. You hurt me so much. Why should I love you? Why should I care about you? And God said to me, George, I didn't take your dad to hurt you. And indeed, he said, I would never hurt you, full stop. Well, by this time, I'm starting to melt a bit. Now, remember that I hadn't cried since 7 and a half.
I tell you, before you leave this great stadium, you can find an answer to the dilemmas and mysteries of life. If you will come and surrender yourself without reservation to Jesus Christ.
I thought about it for a while, and then the appeal came. I suddenly began to weep, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried. My zip gun was under my jumper, and I put it on the ground, and I ran to the front.
There may be many factors that led you to this moment, but there is a climactic moment when you give your life to Christ. And you do it by faith. Faith in Christ.
The amazing thing was that 9 out of the 10 of us got converted that night. Then we were all a blubbering mess. We really were. And we talked about, you know, how wrong we were and the things we'd done and all this. It was quite a night, let me tell you, quite a night. God took this person that hated him with every part of his being, yet God took him and loved him. It's amazing how God can take a situation like we were in, and he can change a life completely, and I thank him every day for that. I really do.
Isn't it powerful to hear a story of a man that was so built up in hatred and was so evil, and then he finds Jesus Christ and completely changes him, gives him a new life? That's what we're talking about today as we get in the Gospel of John. There is life in Jesus Christ. We have to make sure we have a right belief or a true belief, and that will give us the outcome of real life. Not religious life, not hope, like imaginary life, but real, tangible, born-again, new person life. Nobody needs religion. Nobody needs a new code. What we need is Jesus Christ and the new life that comes through him. Before we get into the Bible study, let's listen to one more song that talks about that true belief that we should have that will result in real life.
We believe in the Father who created all that is, and we believe the universe and all is. As a loving Heavenly Father, he yearned to save us all, to lift us from the fall. We believe. Believe in Jesus, the Father's only Son, existing yet uncreated before time had begun, a sacrifice for sin. He died and rose again to ransom sinful men. We believe. We believe in the Spirit who makes believers there's one. Our hearts are filled with his presence. The Comforter has come. The kingdom unfolds in his plan, unhindered by quarrels of man. The church upheld by his hand, we believe.
Bible, as I mentioned, and opened it to the Gospel of John, and we're going to be starting out a book study that will carry us for a long time. There's 21 chapters. In the Gospel of John, now, here's a couple things to remember about when you come to the Bible. There's 66 books. They were written in certain times, certain places, by over 40 authors over about 1,500 years. You have the first half is the Old Testament that looks to Christ. Then you have the New Testament that talks about Christ and the churches and what's to come in Revelation. They don't contradict. They have one message of Jesus Christ. When we turn to the Gospel of John, I want to show you something that's important with Bible study. So you remember, every book in the Bible has a reason it was written. So every book, and you want to figure out what is the reason that book was written. So for example, in John, we have a very clear purpose statement found in the 20th chapter. It's verses 30 and 31, and I want you to turn to that. Look in the most all Bibles, almost all of them have a table of contents that will give you the page number. Sometimes they restart the page numbers over at the New Testament. But let's pray, and then let's get into John 20, verses 30 and 31. And I'm going to pray after I read the verse. So John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Let us pray. Lord, as we look at this verse, as we start out our journey in the Gospel of John, I pray all of us would learn and apply and experience the wonderful things they're talking about in the Gospel of John. There's just, John just gives us so much truth. If anybody doesn't know you, they come to know you. But all of us would assess our own belief in to see, do we know him? Does it line up with what the Bible says? And are we walking in that new life? Thank you. In Jesus' name, Amen. One more song, and then we'll get right into the text.
Reading now, I love to proclaim it. Reading by the blood of the Lamb. Reading through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Reading, reading, reading by the blood of the Lamb. Reading, reading, His child and forever I am.
Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell.
I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell.
Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I
So I trust that you've got your Bibles. I've read the scriptures. I'm going to ask you one question. We're going to get to it in a minute. Just one question. And you'll need to think about this question. You need to give me an answer. You'll need to answer this question because it's extremely important as we look at the subject of true belief, real life. Let's talk about alignment. If you have a car and you go to get it aligned, what does that mean? Basically, as I understand, I'm no mechanic, but you're driving the car and it's just off. It's not going straight. So if you left the wheel, take your hands off the wheel, it's not going to go straight. Its alignment is out of whack. Its alignment is not clear. So you take it to the store, the mechanic, the shop, not the store, and they will align the car. They'll bring it back in alignment. How do you know if your belief is out of alignment or if you have belief? Well, you've got to have a standard to line that up with. You've got to bring that out of aligned belief and bring it into alignment. In other words, make it. There's got to be something that you straight line or straight belief or a place to align it to. So when you think about that, when somebody's going to build a house, they have a plumb line or they have a line that they brace their, make sure it's straight. Is your faith, is your belief, not faith, is your belief correct? I said true belief will result in real life. So true belief will result in real life. That implies there's false belief or belief that's not true, that's not accurate. And we want to take the Gospel of John, and we want to we have a standard we can look at to see if our belief is true, and then we'll learn about life. So here's the question. Is your belief true according to the Bible? We're going to break it down, but is your belief true according to the Bible? What is your belief? Even if you say, I don't believe in God, that's a belief. Is it true according to the Bible? I want to stop for a minute. Some of you may be saved. You trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You believed in Him like John talks about, like the Bible talks about. Well, we all, even if we're saved, we can look at areas in our lives where our beliefs are not lining up with the truth, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring it into obedience, bring it into alignment with the Word of God. Now, you may not have a belief like we're going to talk about. You have a belief, but notice I said, is your belief true according to the Bible? Look at what John 20, verse 30 says. John verse 20, verse 30. He says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Did you know that Jesus, well, you did right there from that verse, did a lot of miracles and a lot of signs. Now, signs are supernatural. They're not able to be. So, for example, a magician will do signs and miracles, but they're not supernatural. He creates those through special effects and illusion. You can go to wherever and watch that magician. I remember in college, a magician came and he walked on water, but he said it's something he just created. It's an illusion. It's not supernatural. Jesus didn't do that kind of signs and wonders. He did real signs and wonders, something that you couldn't create. It's supernatural. There's no logical or material or physical reason that happened. There's no tricks. There's nothing behind the mirrors, smoke and mirrors. No, this is truly a work of God. So Jesus did a lot of them. Look at John, just a chapter over, 21:25. It says, it's the last verse in this book. It says, and there are also many other signs which Jesus did, that the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So there's so many more. There's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each one's written for a different reason. They don't contradict, but they explain about the life of Jesus. Well, the Gospel of John only has seven signs in it. You're like, whoa, seven signs? Yeah. So it says there's a lot of other signs. Go back to John chapter 20. But these are written, the Gospel of John. And what signs do we have? We have Jesus turning water into wine at the wedding in Cana. Jesus turned water into wine. Healing the nobleman's son. Jesus heals the son of a royal official in Capernaum. Healing the paralyzed man. Jesus heals a paralyzed man at the pool of Bethsaida in Jerusalem. Feeding the 5,000. And that's the only, Jesus feeds 5,000. That's the only miracle that's in all four Gospels. Just wanted to share that. Walking on water. Jesus walks on water in a storm to reach his disciples on the other side of the lake. And heal, number six, healing the man born blind. Jesus heals a man who had been born blind since birth using mud. Raising Lazarus. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. There's the seven signs. So those seven signs in the Gospel of John and the book, it says, but these are written. Why are they written? Well, it has a reason it's written. Like I mentioned, there's a reason this is here. What's the reason? Well, some people say, so I can feel God's love, so I can so I can read and grow in my knowledge. That's not the reason John says there. He wrote it. He says, but these are written that ye, meaning the people who are reading the book, experience the book, might believe. Okay, it wants to result. When you read John, it results in his goal. It doesn't always, because we have hard hearts. But his objective in writing this is it would result in belief. Now, is your belief true according to the Bible? I want you to catch this. This is very important. Notice he doesn't just say he wants belief, but then he goes on and he says what the belief is in. The Bible is clear that there's more than just believing in something. See, our society will sit there and say, well, it's good. You believe, I believe, we all kind of believe. That's not what the Bible says. Now, what was the question? What was the question? Is your belief true according to the Bible? And the Bible says, is clear, there's more than just believing. Look at James 2:19. Thou believest that there is, this is James chapter 2, verse 19 in the New Testament. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. I mean, Satan believes in God. It's not about just believing, just having a belief. The critical issue of John is, what is your belief in? He says, but these are written that ye might believe. In other words, this book will give you the ability to have the evidence, have what you need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing you might have life through his name. That's why I said it's true belief, real life. That's the goal. True belief, real life. Say that. True belief, real life. Do you have true belief that produces real life? Notice what he says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus, the one born in Bethlehem. Jesus, his name means the Lord saves, or Joshua in the Old Testament. And then he gives two things, Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name. Sometimes people think, well, his Jesus, first name is Jesus. His last name is Christ. That's a title for him, the Son of God. Let's talk about Christ. Christ means anointed one. So there were people called Gnostics during this time, Gnostic knowledge. And they thought, you just have to have certain knowledge and secret knowledge. And this teacher would give you this knowledge. And we'd go to this teacher and he'd give you this knowledge and this teacher. And they have this secret knowledge. Well, John says, no, there's only one knowledge that's important, and it's Christ. Christ, the Greek word means Christo, meaning anointed one or chosen one. Well, what's Jesus chosen for? What is he anointed for? Well, he's God's chosen one to be the king. Jesus is God's chosen one to fulfill Scripture. One of the words, and he doesn't use this in Matthew because it's not his direct audience, but it explains Christos. Daniel 7:13, I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him before him, and they gave him dominion, and so on, full force. It's the idea he's chosen to be the reigning king. So Christ, again, means anointed, chosen one. Does it matter what you're chosen for? So if I said you're chosen to get $1 million, you want your $1 million, or you're chosen to do this job. So for example, let's say you went fishing on a boat. Probably a lot of you have been fishing before. And there's a captain, first mate, and then there's the crew. I'm pretty ignorant of it, but of the different titles. But the point is, let's say the crew, he jumps on the boat and he's driving it. Captain would be like, what are you doing? You're not chosen. You aren't picked to be the captain. I'm the captain. You get out and do your job. Or the farmer who he's doing crops because that's his calling or his choice. Well, Jesus is chosen. He is the one who's the Son of God. He's the one who's the king. He's the one who's chosen all the things of God. That's why it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life in John chapter 14. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you want to understand what that belief looks like, it means I choose to follow him then. It's not just a head knowledge belief, but it's a life belief that impacts my heart. And then you notice he calls him the Son of God. The Son of God. Now, what does that mean, the Son of God? Does that mean God had kids? He says, believe that Jesus is the Christ. So do you believe he's the anointed one, the called one, the chosen one? The Son of God. Well, Son of God does not mean in the sense of God had a little boy named Jesus. Sometimes the Muslims or others think, well, God had a boy named because Son of God. We've got to get what the Bible says about that, right? Yeah, that's what we need to. And when we look at Son of God, what it means is God made in the flesh. We're going to talk about this the next Bible study, but John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh. God becomes a man. It's called incarnation in the flesh. God becomes incarnate as a man. Jesus is fully God, fully man. But let's look at the understanding of what the Son of God is. Turn to John 19:7. 19:7. The Jews answered, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Now, why did they do that? Why did they say he needs to die? Because they understood that him saying he's the Son of God equates that he's saying he has the very nature of God. And that's they didn't believe that. They rejected that. But they clearly understood that the term Son of God is equated with God and deity. Jesus is God. Also, to understand that, turn to John 17:12. John 17:12. And I want to make sure we're going along slowly enough. You can not go in so fast. But John 17, verse 12. Look at John 6:71. This is going to help us understand what it means when he says, Son of God. So John 6:71, he said, "He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12." So one of Jesus' followers was Judas Iscariot, the one who's going to betray him. Right here it says that he's the boy or the son of Simon. His father is Simon. Now, turn over to John chapter 17, verse 12, and you're going to see how this concept as a title is used of when we have son of something in a sense of a title. So John 17:12. Now look at this, and you'll get what Jesus means by 17:12. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name." This is John 17:12. "Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that scriptures might be fulfilled." He's talking about Judas Iscariot. Perdition is the idea of destruction. So he's not the son of destruction, that destruction had a baby and it's Judas. No, that's the title for the nature of him. So thus we go back to applying this to Jesus, Son of God, deity, deity. So John is writing to tell us that, give us the information so we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the called out one, the anointing of God, and the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. In other words, the evidence here will give you enough so you can put your belief in a credible way, within a reasonable doubt, that he is the Christ and the Son of God. Do you believe that? So what's the applications? One, I mentioned it, Christ following God. And Jesus, if he's the Son of God, he's to be worshipped as God. When it says in the first commandments, "You shall have no other gods before me." Let's turn to the Ten Commandments. It's in Exodus chapter 20. So what are the applications? Well, the application, or what does it mean for a life, is big. What does it mean to really believe? Well, Exodus chapter 20, it says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," 20 verse 3. In other words, that's applying to Jesus. He has to be number one. He's more than just a prophet. He's more than just one of the gods. He is the God. That's why what we see in John. And John says, if you will evaluate what I write in here, you will come to that conclusion emphatically. I will lay out to you what that means. And then we get to the second part. Remember what I shared at the beginning multiple times? True belief results in what? Real life. True belief, real life. So look at John chapter 20 again. Go back to the verse there. John, he says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book, this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Okay, so what does it result in? Real life. Let's look at that. First of all, that believing. Well, that tells, belief is different than believing. Belief is like, I believe Jesus is this. Believing tells me this is a continuous thing. So in other words, you have your born again, your moment when you realize it's true, but then the outflow of that is it's believing, it's ongoing, it's continual. It's not just a one and done. It's It's active in my life. But notice what else he says, believing ye might have life through his name. His name is, so if I go up to Westminster Abbey, it's where a lot of the people are buried, or I go into Buckingham Palace and I said, let me in. Why should you? Because I'm Matthew Roman. You're not going to let me in. But if I say, I come to you in the name of King Charles, well, they're going to check and say, oh, we let him in. Why? Not because of me, but because of who I know King Charles. This belief, a lot of times we think our belief, our salvation, or this, what we're talking about, this real life, is because of us or something we did. It's not. It's through his name. The name is everything Jesus is. And so when we take hold of this life and we're walking it out and we're experiencing it, it's because of our confidence in the name of who Jesus is. If you don't put your belief in Jesus, you're not going to experience the real life. Another thing it tells me, it's not based on my feelings, it's based on Christ. Security. There's so much to that. So let me go back to the original question. Is your belief true according to the Bible? Only you can answer that. And maybe you're sitting there saying, I didn't understand about Christ or the Son of God. I didn't understand all this about Jesus. I kind of knew it because of my church says that. No, do you know it because of what the Bible says? He says, but these are written. It's what's exposed here. I'll give you an interesting, you could call this a commercial of upcoming our previews. Look at John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40. Here's what it says. It says, John chapter 5, 39 and 40. These are different signs and these are different witnesses. But notice what it says, 39. John chapter 5, 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. The scriptures testify of Jesus. So we're going to study John from the standpoint of better understanding what does it mean that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then helping us understand what does real life mean. It's not a religious message. People make the mistake of coming to the Bible and saying they're going to get religious. Well, I'm Methodist, or I'm Lutheran, or I'm Baptist, or I'm Catholic, I'm Orthodox. You know, that's all fine and good. That's not mentioned in the Bible. What is mentioned is, are you born again spiritually? Do you have the life Jesus talks about? And I hope you're sitting there and saying, you know, I really need to make sure. I need to understand what the Bible says. Next week, we're going to talk about John chapter 1, and we're going to begin looking at the first verse as we look at, what is it again? True belief results in real life. But look at John 1:20. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God, to them that believe in his name. Do you believe in his name? Do you believe that he's the Christ, the Son of God, or is your confidence in something else? If you're somebody here that would like to better understand that, or really affirm your belief, it's in your heart. And many times people think, well, I prayed a little prayer. Prayer is good. It affirms, we're telling God what we believe. If you'd like to pray with me right now, and express the attitude of the heart, maybe you're not there yet, pray with me. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this Bible study on true belief in real life. And I pray all of us would look at our belief and say, where is it not aligned with the truth of God? We pray this in Jesus' name. And if you want to repeat after me there, say, Jesus, I don't understand all this, but I really do believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God. And I believe I don't know it all, and I'm a sinner, but I believe you died and rose from the dead. And if you're the other person who doesn't really believe that, would like to know more, pray with me. They'll say, God, I don't understand it, but if you're real, show me. I'm willing to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you want to reach out to me and ask some questions, because we're talking deep spiritual belief stuff, you can email me again at mathewroman@gmail.com. My phone number is 573-703-5914. That's my cell number. Just, hey, Pastor Matt, yo, what's going on? Just talk to me. We can talk about it. If you're on Akutan, come on over. Maybe you're listening to this. We have church at 7:30 p.m. on Facebook Live and in the church here. And then on Wednesday night, we have 7:30 p.m. Bible study. It's been good to be with you. We're going to finish up. You're going to get a lot of music, but it's going to be a lot longer Bible study next week. I hope you'll think about this and remember again, what was that question I asked? Do you remember? Is your belief true according to the Bible? Have a good day. The music we've listened to, Redeemed, plus with lyrics, former gangster plot to kill Billy Graham, Jesus Saves, We Believe, Newsboys, God's Not Dead. Those are all found on YouTube. You could Google, you could go to YouTube, and that's where you get the actual video that these MP3 came from. I hope you'll be back with us next week on this Hour of Hope. It's been great to be with you. Again, I'm Pastor Matthew, reminding you to have true belief in real life. Experience real life. True belief, experience real life. Have a good week. I'll see you next week on the Hour of Hope.
The only thing I want in life is to be known for loving Christ, to build His church, to love His bride, and make His name known far and wide.
For this cause I live, for this cause I die, I surrender all for the cause of Christ. All I once held dear, I will leave behind, for my joy is this, oh, the cause of Christ.
He is all my soul will prize, regardless of the joy or trial. When agonizing questions rise, in Jesus all my hope abides.
For this cause I live, for this cause I die, I surrender all for the cause of Christ. All I once held dear, I will leave behind, for my joy is this, oh, the cause of Christ.
Jesus, my Jesus, for your glory, for your name. Jesus, my Jesus, I will only sing your praise.
Jesus, my Jesus, for your glory, for your name. Jesus, my
desire, nor stature in my brother's eyes. I pray it's said about my life that I live more to build your name than mine.
For the cause.
A shadow in his light. No authority, law, or government challenges his sovereign might.
His reign and rule have no boundary. All that is, his hands have wrought.
Nothing ever can, nothing ever will overcome the Lord our God.
We are well aware we were orphans once, bent and broken in our shame. Then he sought us out and adopted us. Now we bear his royal name.
Every sin or crime we have ever done is no match for Jesus' blood.
Nothing ever can, nothing ever will overcome the Lord our God.
Satan's evil hold.
And the kingdom of our Savior's life is our soul's eternal home.
Though the enemy tries to steal and kill, but the death of Christ has lost.
Nothing ever can,
Those last two songs were Nothing Ever Can, Nothing Ever Will, The Cause of Christ Resolved by West Coast Baptist College. I'm so glad you've been with us. Let's take it out with reminding us God is not dead. See you next week on the Hour of Hope. I'm Pastor Matthew. Have a good day.